Good morning, everybody. We did have several folks traveling this morning, so I decided instead of scrambling to get everyone covered, we would just all join together this morning. If y'all will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 16. So I was thinking and praying about what to teach this morning, and this lesson just wouldn't leave my mind. And it's a repeat. I had to go into the archives to get it from a couple years ago. So we're gonna flash back a little bit and hit a lesson we've already hit. If y'all will, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day you've given us, dear Lord God, and the opportunity for us to gather here together, dear Lord. Lord, those who aren't here, who are off traveling, Lord, we pray that you keep them safe. Lord God, I need your help this morning, dear Lord God. If there's anything I'm sure of here is that I'm inadequate to stand. Dear Lord God, I pray, dear Lord, that your lesson would reach out and touch people, dear Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. That's saying a lot for a king to be the rottenest and to provoke the Lord the worst than anybody that had gone before him. Because there's been some pretty bad folks that have gone before Ahab here. So Ahab reigned over Samaria for 22 years. And he was married to Jezebel. You guys have all heard of Jezebel, right? And she worshipped and promoted the worship of Baal. Now, Baal, in the context here, is the god of fertility. So the god of multiplying people, multiplying crops, multiplying the land. And Jezebel had a problem with God's men. Jezebel had a vicious anger against God's men. Jezebel actually ran all of God's men off and ran them out and promoted the worship of Baal, like I said. So Jezebel was not a good wife for the king, Ahab. So no man succeeds in life without the support of his wife. A wife can either build you up or break you down. And Ahab reigned for 22 years with Jezebel as his partner. And Jezebel definitely brought him down, made him the worst. Now, me on the other hand, I have a good wife. And she builds me up. And I'm thankful for that. But Ahab was looking to grow his kingdom without God. How can someone grow and prosper without God? So they were worshiping the god of Baal, who was supposed to promote growth and fertility, and they were leaving out God, who's the only one that can make you prosper. So any prosperity that has touched my life personally has come through God. You know, even as I see things play out sometimes at work, sometimes I think I couldn't have scripted this any better. If I'd have imagined a better situation for these series of events, there's no way I could have orchestrated that. And sometimes you just know that it's God in there connecting this one and connecting that one and making that thing happen. And then next thing you know, you've got everything went better than you could ever imagine. And it's all God working out His plan. So never leave Him out. Never leave Him out. If you do, you'll always come up short. So let's go on to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And I love this story here. In my personal life, I reference this story in my brain and in my heart all the time. It says, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain for these years according to my word." So Ahab had caused all this trouble, and Jezebel had caused all this trouble, and they had turned their back on God. And God's man came to them and said, well, I appreciate your God of fertility and all, but the God that I serve is going to shut off the water. And when there's no water, there's no what? There's no growth. So Elijah warned of the drought. So God's man was bringing this warning. And the drought did occur, didn't it? But the drought didn't just occur for Ahab. Ahab was the one who had sinned. The drought occurred for Ahab's entire kingdom. Leadership does matter. When the leader fails, everyone in that under that leadership suffers. Every time. And everyone, you know, a lot of times I talk to other leaders at my place, and I talk about, you know, you might have a group of 10 people that you lead, but those 10 people go home to two or three other people, maybe four, who reaches out and touches three or four other people. Next thing you know, the way you treat somebody has influence over, you know, 100, 200, 500 people. And it can be up in the thousands, depending on how influential those folks are. So the way a leader treats people matters. It just matters. The extension of the way you do someone is far greater than you could ever imagine. So leadership sets the stage for the followers and everyone that they touch. There's an old saying out there, manage your culture or your culture will manage you. Do things on purpose when you're leading folks. So Ahab was doing things on purpose, but he was doing the wrong things on purpose. And he had gotten himself on the wrong side of God. So I would recommend and I would promote that we support our leaders. Because the leaders have all the pressure. Your leaders at church, your leaders at work, they carry the burden of performance. They carry the burden of everyone's well-being. And whether you like them or hate them, they still got all that pressure. And if you want to prosper, take some of the pressure off your leader and see what happens. If you want to prosper, take some pressure off your leader. Just take a piece of it and run with it. You don't even have to tell them you're doing it. They'll figure it out on their own. They'll say, hey, why don't I feel this pain here? Oh, I took that 3 months ago. Oh, okay, you can handle that? What else can you handle? That's the way it plays out. So leaders carry a great burden. And, you know, a lot of us, I think I said this last time I taught it, but a lot of us spend a lot of our time in the cheap seats. We spend our time in the bleachers watching the game. And it's easy when you're watching the game to judge the people who are playing the game. All those Monday morning quarterbacks, all the people standing up in the bleachers screaming and hollering. But throw a ball in their hand and see what happens. Sometimes it's harder than it looks. And sometimes there are things that we don't understand. We don't have privy to all the information. There are situations that someone's trying to balance that's multifaceted. It has more than just one side. It's more than just black or white. And those of us who are in the bleachers are calling it black and white. But guess what? Everything's not black and white. So if we're going to sit in the bleachers, we need to watch quietly and carefully. But it's okay to jump in the game and understand the game and understand all the facets of the game and help. Right? Is that okay? Y'all ain't mad at me, are you? I know Brother Adam's not. He's smiling at me. All right. So, pay attention to yourself. If you're always in a seat of judgment, you're probably not considering everything. Because everybody around you is just not that dumb. Okay? Your leader's just probably not that dumb. Don't always sit in a seat of judgment. So, 1 Kings 17, verse 1 said, there shall not be dew nor rain on the ground for these years. Judgment came to Ahab due to his worship of Baal. And again, we have to be very careful that we don't pick a little god if we pick a little god, we'll be unfulfilled, just like Ahab was. So in 1 Kings 17, chapter 2, it said, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens, just like God promised, brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So God gave direction to Elijah. And we all want direction, don't we? I desperately seek direction in my life. He gave direction. He said, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Now, Cherith is an Arabic word. It's pronounced Wadi, W-A-D-I, which stands for a small body of water that does not appear, get this, except during the rainy season. So God sustained Elijah with a brook during a drought that's only supposed to appear during the rainy season. That God sent him to a brook that shouldn't have been there to get his sustainment. And Elijah went. If he'd have been smarter than God at that moment, he would have never gotten the sustainment that he was looking for, that he needed. If he'd have been smarter than God and said, "I'm not going to that brook, God. I know you said go there, but I know that spring. I know these parts. And it won't be there because it's dry." He would have missed his blessing. So, how can we find God's direction? God says in one of my favorite verses over in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." God wants us to choose him in all of our ways and ask his advice in all of our ways. So we toil and we try to figure out our correct direction. And God doesn't always make it easy for us, does he? Sometimes God makes us work to seek him. I think sometimes he makes us work so that we can understand that it comes from him. A lot of times in our searching and in our toiling for direction, we kind of get to the end of ourselves. And God wants us at the end of ourselves so that we can find him there. Because if we could figure it out, then we wouldn't go to God to try to figure things out. If we could get it, because human nature says that we're smart and we know everything, right? And who would have picked to go to a wet water spring, a winter spring, I think is what we call it around here, a wet water spring, to get water during a drought? So Elijah did follow God's direction. In verse 5 it says, "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan." In verse 6 it says, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." So this was the only place that the ravens were going to be making deliveries, right by this brook. God had already set it up that they would be bringing bread and meat. And if he'd have gone somewhere else, he wouldn't have gotten those deliveries. It's very important that we are in our spot with God. Because where we're in our spot, we can be taken care of. When we're in some other spot, God's not sending the truck, the bread truck. He's not sending the bread birds. So, you know, Brother Ken made a big decision a few years ago to step out of the corporate world and to go full-time ministry. If he hadn't done that, he wouldn't be sitting in a spot where the ravens could deliver the bread. And you know, we all may have those decisions in our lives. Where are we going to be where God can deliver the bread? And it may not make sense. It may be by a stream that is only there during the rainy season, and we know there's a drought going on. God's logic doesn't follow our logic. I don't know why. He said He created us in His image, but His ways are not our ways. It just is. So God's logic is not our logic. So if you take a promotion before it's time, if you go move out of town because everybody thinks you should and everybody wants you to, and God's telling you not to, you got that sick feeling that God ain't in it, you better stick with God. Because the devil can certainly deliver you destruction in a different spot. And God can deliver you blessings in your spot. So, why didn't God send Elijah to a river? There's plenty of water in a river, I guess. He wanted them by the stream. And it's not for us to question why God wants us to sustain us, how He wants to sustain us. It's just for us to trust Him. So, again, verse 6 says, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." So, how many of you ever seen a bird firing up an oven and cooking bread? I've never seen it. I've seen a lot of birds in my life, but I've never seen one cook bread. There is a little red hen that went and gathered the grain. And he ground the grain, and he made the bread. But I've only seen it in a book. I've never seen it in real life. Everybody knows that story, don't they? I think I could probably teach that one day. That's a good life lesson right there. But the ravens didn't cook the bread, so they had to go get the bread somewhere. The whole kingdom was in a drought. The whole kingdom was lacking. There was no grain, just as the little red hen taught us, that you couldn't grow grain in a drought. So the ravens had to go somewhere that someone would be so careless to expose their bread to birds. Who would be so careless in a time of everyone being without? It would have to be somebody that had plenty. Who in this area would have plenty? I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to follow a logical path here. I've heard some people say that maybe the bread came from Ahab's table. The very person that exiled Elijah may have been the very person that was feeding him. The bread and the flesh. If you don't think God can use your enemies to prosper you, you got a small God, because He can. I have seen it play out. I would share a story, but it's too personal. But God has literally used someone to put me in a position that at one time barely would speak to me. It is just unbelievable what God can do. Message is, trust God. Trust God. He can. So, God can use your enemies to help you if He chooses. Trust God. He can get anything done on your behalf. And I'll tell you one thing, that any employer or anyone that you're associated with that doesn't treat one of God's children right, if you're in God's will and doing the right thing, I will be very fearful for that person. I'm so convinced that our God cares so much about us that I think He can cause businesses, corporations, companies to prosper or not to prosper because of the way His children are treated within that community. I believe that. God honors things, and God steps away from things. Our job is to try to listen to God and be in our spot so God can honor what we're doing in our lives. Is it easy? Sometimes it's very confusing. I'll just say that. But we are to seek God and seek God's direction. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. "And it came to pass after a little while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." We already knew that, right? There had been no rain in the land. So the brook where God sent Elijah dried up. Have you ever seen a stream go dry? An area of water go dry? Well, one day it's running freely, right? The next day Next morning you wake up, you look at the stream, it's totally gone. Is that the way it plays out? No. It goes like this. If it's this wide to start with, it shrinks a little bit, it shrinks a little bit, it shrinks a little bit, until there's little bitty pools, and then there's nothing. Elijah sat by that brook and watched his life-giving water go from plenty to nothing. And it wasn't until the water was gone, the Bible says it dried up, there was nothing left, that Elijah got his direction to move. It takes a lot of strength to trust God while you watch your brook dry up and go away and not move on your own. But if Elijah had moved on his own, where would he have gone? Jezebel was looking for him. Jezebel would have loved to have seen his head on a platter. Where could he go? Any direction other than the direction that had the protection of God would have cost him his life. So, but he was faithful. God will have these situations in our lives too. And it takes true faith and extreme restraint to not do something dumb before God moves you. So, many times God makes our situation hard to push us forward, doesn't He? He goes ahead and allows it to get hard on us. And many times our situation becomes so dire because He wants us to understand that He has the answers. And when the brook goes dry and we don't have any answers, and God gives us something and sends us where we're supposed to be, we know it's from God. So we're talking about direction and following direction and following God's direction and receiving the fullness of God. So when God told Elijah to move, who knows where he told him to move to? I know y'all know this story. He told him to move to an old widow woman. Now this widow woman was in a bad situation herself. She had scraped up the last bit of meal, the last bit of flour, and the last couple drops of oil. In this drought, remember the whole land's in drought, and she was going to make these cakes with this oil and flour. Her and her son was going to eat it, and this was going to be their last meal, and they had intended to die. This was the last thing before they died because they'd done all they could. So God sent Elijah to this widow woman, and Elijah had an interesting question for her. He said, "Hey, can I have some of that?" He said, God told me to come here and take some of that meal. Can I have some of that? And, you know, she had a choice at that point. She could have said, are you kidding me? We've been living hard all this time. This is our last meal and you want a portion of it? But what she said is, I trust God and I trust God's man. And, of course, you can have some. So because of her faithfulness, because of Elijah's faithfulness for waiting for direction, taking the direction and going and executing on that direction, they were both able to sustain themselves through the drought on that drop of oil and that little bit of meal. It's the endless barrel of meal and the endless oil. So God blessed, and they did it for it. The Bible said they sustained them for many days. Doesn't say exactly how many, but many days. God can turn nothing into sustainment for as long as He wants for us. So I think many times God has so much more for us, but because we believe small and trust small, we get little. But if we can believe big and trust big, we can get much. And we don't get the fullness of God a lot of times because we don't trust enough in His direction and follow it and get in our place. God would have us be in our place. Now, Brother Joe's place is not my place. I can't go take his direction in his life and go try to make that work for me. And Brother Adam's place is not my place. And my place is not your place. We all have our spot that we need to get into. Some of us are by a brook. Some of us may be by a river. Some of us may be under a tree. Some of us in a job. Some of us working from home. Some of us working, raising kids. Some of us doing a lot of different things. But God has a place and a will for all of us. And God's benefits are endless. If there's anybody here who's doubting the power of God, and maybe God's drawing you to Him, I've been a Christian now for 31, 32 years, something like that. And I have not one day, whether I was doing well, whether I was doing poor, you know, we've all had our good times and our bad times, whether I was doing what I should do, whether I was doing what I shouldn't do, there's never been a moment in my life that I've regretted taking God's hand on this journey. It has never happened. And I can assure you that because I know that God, and I've known Him for so long, He has never once let me down. He has never once let me do without. He has never once done anything but help me. Even when He had to hurt me to help me, it was for my good. And I would encourage you that if God is reaching out to you, reach back to Him. Do not turn your back on a God that is so capable to sustain you, that is so clear on direction. His ways are not your ways. You won't always get the logic. But you can trust that He will take care of you. And be willing to give up anything to stay in your spot. Because nothing you are holding on to is worth not being in your spot. God has it all. If He's in your spot, He can send the birds with bread. If you're in your spot, He can send whatever you need. If you're not in your spot, you'll be missing those deliveries. Thank you for your attention this morning.